And now we're going to change the pace a bit. We were talking to Cheryl before. Now we're going to talk to a man we've spoken to on a few, three or four occasions over the years, and it's Greg. And I call him the Mr. Bee Man. I don't think there's many people know as much about bees as what Greg does. So welcome, Greg.
Grant, thank you. Great to be here.
Terrific to have you too. Greg, first of all, before we get started, we're going to mention this a couple of times. Greg is going to be at Wirree Community House down there in Wirree Alec this evening between 7.30 and 9.30, 7.30 and 8.30pm tonight. So it won't be the same thing as that we're talking about today. So don't sort of think, oh, well, I've heard from Greg today and I won't bother going tonight, because there's a couple of things. First of all, he'll have more time because he won't be playing sponsorships and that, and a bit of songs. But also, I don't think there's anyone that knows much more about Greg's, but you'll also have the opportunity to ask him a few questions. So if you want to go tonight, you need to book 5964 6857. That's 5964 6857. If you didn't get that down, we'll repeat it to you a little bit later during the interview. But if I didn't have a committee meeting on tonight, I'd be going to see Greg, because he's a fascinating man. So first of all, welcome, Greg.
Thank you.
After having given you that build up, we need to talk to you.
Now, there's somewhere where I can get rid of all the redness on my face.
Greg, I've spoken to you on a number of occasions and about bees, and I'm fascinated. When I looked up the fact that you're going to be at Wirree tonight, you said that there's honey tasting. Now, I'm intrigued. Is there various types of honey? I only thought there was only one type of honey.
Oh, dear. You've opened me. Oh, you're going to regret asking that question.
We've got to take an ad break soon.
All right. Okay. Yes, there are many, many different types of honeys, both in flavour and consistency. In the Yarra Valley, we at the Yarra Valley Bee Group, we don't have a particular brand or type of honey, such as, you know, Bloodwood or Grey Gum or Red Gum or whatever. With the Yarra Valley, with our members, when they've got a surplus of honey, we all put it together. And so we have honey that might be from Millgrove, it could be from Warburton or Lilydale, wherever our members have got their hives. That's how we name the honey. It's Coldstream honey or it's Lilydale honey.
All right, so let me ask you, you've got hives, right? Mm-hmm. So when, and we'll say tomorrow, or because I know you're busy today, if it was your time to go and harvest your honey or take it, is it going to be the same every time, or is your honey, is that going to change from time to time?
Great question and an excellent point. No, the honey changes because it all depends on what the bees have been gathering the nectar from, which gives you the flavour. Now, at the moment, we've got tea tree, which is flowering.
Yep.
Thank heavens, because that's a bit of stalwart. That has got it's got a thicker consistency, and it's also got a slightly stronger flavour than, for example, canola honey or clover honey, which is a comparatively light flavour. So that's what's going at the moment. In a couple of months' time, the peppermint gums, where I am, will be flowering, and that will give a slightly different texture, a little bit more acidic, and then come February, hopefully, the messmate will flower, and that's the one that I look forward to. For my taste, it's almost like I akin it to butterscotch or malt sort of flavour. It's got that lovely thickness in the mouth and a really tremendous flavour profile. It's my favourite.
All right, so over a period of 12 months, your hives might give you four different types of honey, is that right?
Correct. Yes, exactly.
All right. So when you go and harvest, I don't know what the words are, but when you go to harvest your honey, I'm talking about just you now, is it always going to be, like, if it's say, October, we'll say it's October and or November, and you're going to... So every November, are you going to get the same honey, or can that even vary from year to year?
It'll be basically the same.
Right.
But there can be minor differences, but it wouldn't be noticeable to most people. So generally speaking, yes, the early harvest is always going to be of a certain flavour profile and mouth taste or viscosity.
All right. Pardon me. So you've got a hive, we'll say, at Warburton. I don't know where you live, and that's really nothing to do with me, but we'll say your hive's in Warburton, mine's in Lilydale. Are they going to both in November be the same, or are yours going to be different to mine every year, or how does that work?
Totally different. Totally different. For example, let's take Warburton as an example. Now, there is some suburbia to a degree in Warburton.
Yep.
But a lot of beekeepers might be on the fringe of Warburton, so they're relying on the forests all around Warburton for their food supply for the bees. Now, that is going to be terribly different to, for example, Lidl, as a generalisation, suburbia, lots and lots of domestic gardens, and everybody's got a slightly different garden. So there's going to be a huge variety of flowers that the bees are going to forage on. You can have people in, say, Swansea Road in Lilydale.
Yep.
They'll have honey from along the creek line. That will be very different from someone who's on the northern end of Lilydale.
Even in the same sort of...
In the same suburb, because the bees are going to forage as close as they can to their hive to get the food that they require. So if they're down Swansea Road, the river gums and all along the Wurree Creek is going to be... That's what they're going to be after. In northern and more western Lilydale, it's going to be the domestic gardens with a huge variety of foods, which will give you a totally different flavour.
Fascinating. Got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more. And we'll be talking to Greg. But don't forget, it'll be on between 7:30 and 8:30 tonight at the Wurree Community House, 5964 6857. 5964 6857.
I chance to meet some old friends on the street. They wonder, how does a man get to be this way? I've always got a smiling face on any time and any place, and every time they ask me why, I just smile and say, you've got to kiss an angel good morning and let her know you think about her when you're gone. Kiss an angel good morning and love her like the devil when you get back home. People may try to guess the secret of our happiness, but some of them never learn that it's a simple thing. I'm speaking of is a woman and a man in love, and the answer is in this song that I always sing. Cause you've got to kiss an angel good morning, let her know you think about her when you're gone. So kiss an angel good morning and love her like the devil when you get back home. Kiss an angel good morning, let her know you think about her when you're gone. So kiss an angel good morning and love her like the devil when you get back home.
I'm talking to Mr. Bees, Greg, and he knows all about bees. Greg, there's a couple of things I just need to ask you. One of them, I remember, and I don't know whether it was COVID or just after COVID when I spoke to you, you said for some reason the production of honey was down, because I remember you saying that you have a few regular customers, and at that stage you were even having to buy some honey off some of your other producers to be able to fulfil your orders. Not that that's got anything to do with us, but has that improved? Like, are they producing more? And if so, why would they all of a sudden start producing more than what they were back then?
Excellent question. The answer is, think of beekeeping as a primary production. It's agriculture in another form, and it is totally weather-dependent. A couple of years ago, and that would have been just before I was talking to you last time, we had a very miserable springtime coming into summer. For those of you who can remember, a couple of years back, we had 1 week of spring in August.
Yep.
And then we had winter up until the end of November. All the plants and flowers that would normally be flowering then were minimal.
More dormant, were they?
Well, no, there's a lot of plants are like people. It's cold, wet and miserable outside. I don't want to show them the face.
Can't blame them.
Yeah, and bees and people are the same as the plants.
Yep.
There was that factor a couple of years back. So whenever the plants were able to flower because of the amount of rain, all the goodness, all the food, that is the pollen and the nectar, was being washed off all the flowers. So the bees were going out looking for food and they were having a really hard time. A really hard time, a couple of years ago. Now, let's move forward to this year.
Yep.
Oh, boy, what a difference.
Has it? It's really...
Oh, yeah. Yes. Yep. Bees are far more active. We're getting swarming. 2 years ago, very little swarming. Very little, because the bees weren't, shall we say, increasing their numbers because there just wasn't the food. This year, totally opposite.
Greg, are you finding, and I know that you do a bit of going out and removing hives where they, where they've sort of set up a hive in somebody's place or something. With what you're talking about, with them being more active and that, are you finding that there are more people that are winding up with a hive or a swarm in their yard that you've got to go and get?
Absolutely.
Have you?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This year, swarming has been phenomenal because we've had such a good early spring.
Yep.
We've had a couple of bursts of cool and damp weather, but we haven't had that long period of cold nastiness. Yep. So the bees have been able to kick on pretty well. So, yep, there are a lot of swarms around. I don't do them all, fortunately.
Yep.
There's a group of people through the Yarra Valley Bee Group that will actually go out and collect swarms, or if the swarm has been clever enough to get inside a wall cavity or whatever, to remove a bee hive or a bee nest from a wall or anything is a little bit more complicated. So we do have a few people that can do that as well. So it's not just me, it's a whole group of us that are available.
So I guess the takeout from that is that if you go outside or anywhere around your place and you find a swarm, I mean, there are... of it is to get hold of someone from your group and don't try and destroy them, because you'll finish up getting stung anyway if you start being silly with them. But more importantly, it's better. I mean, you guys can go and collect them and you keep them, don't you?
That's right. Save them, rehome them, put them in a nice little snug home, care for them, and away we go. Yep.
Greg, I don't want to talk about myself, so we're not going to do that, but I've got some flowers or little bushes or something. At times you'll go to water during the summer and you don't realise the bees are in there, so all of a sudden you back off. Would that cause them to want to sting you if the water, would they see that as a threat, or do they just accept that as their environment?
Good point. The answer is they wouldn't see that as a threat. Rain is natural. They might be a bit surprised if it's been a sunny day and all of a sudden it's raining. So it's like us being caught out in a summer shower. Oh, gee whiz, didn't expect that. They're fine. I think the big thing is most people, when they're watering their garden, they're not using a solid jet of water.
Yep.
It's a rose or a spray of water.
Yep.
That's fine. If bees get hit with a jet of water, that'll knock them to the ground. Generally speaking, bees can survive a bit of rain, no problems at all. They'll just sit tight until it's gone.
Yeah, so they're not going to come out of that bush and try and sting you because they think it's a predator or something that's going to cause them...
No, rain is a terribly natural event and they will respond as they would naturally to a rain shower.
I've got to take a quick break because we want to come back and talk about some other things. But first of all, Greg, at about 5 to 2, will give you contact details for himself and for his group. So if you write it down, keep it, because you never know when you're going to find a bee swarm in your backyard. Don't hurt them. Don't go and do anything yourself. Get hold of these guys. They know exactly what they're doing.
Making a change, the feeling is strange, it's coming right back in my ring.
Greg, you've become almost an authority on bees, but at what stage and what age did you think, I want to find out more bees? And what got you interested in bees?
Short answer is, we're growing food at home. I'd retired, yep. A little bit more time on my hands, and I was thinking, how can I improve the productivity of our home garden? Bees were the answer, because I'm in a rural area.
So you didn't go from the bees. It wasn't the bees that started off. It was the fact that you wanted to improve production of your garden.
Yeah, that was it exactly. And that was the starting point.
So I don't want to know age or anything, but how long did it take you to get from that to now where you know so much about bees?
Well, my bee journey's been 10 or 11 years.
Has it? Yep. Yeah.
But I think I am like most beekeepers, I tend to be a sponge. Talk beekeeping to anyone and you usually pick up something.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All right. Now, just two quick questions. The first one is, we were talking about a swarm before. Mm-hmm. So we'll say I live down Lilydale and I go out and I've got a swarm hanging around in my backyard. Mm-hmm. So I ring Greg, and Greg or one of your mates goes down, say, how do you get them? And how do you transport them? And what happens if there's a few left?
All right. Okay, I'll try and give you the short version.
Yep.
Okay. Get a phone call for a swarm.
Yep.
If it's comparatively easily accessible, that is up to about 4 to 5 metres above ground, not a problem. So we'll deal with those.
Yep.
I go over there. I take a small hive. So that's the box with all the frames in it. But it's not the full-size one that most people think of. It's about half that size.
Right.
Gently put the bees in there, which is another episode in itself.
I'll bet.
Yep. But no, if you do it gently, bee swarms are notoriously gentle 99.9% of the time.
Oh,
yep. Well, they're in transition. They're not defending their home, so they're usually not aggressive. It's highly unusual for a swarm to be aggressive. You pop them in the box, seal the box up once you've got them all in there. I carry them, put them in the back seat of my car and take them to their new home.
Back seat of your car?
Yeah.
All right. So what happens if a few are left behind?
Okay. Generally speaking, if there's a few left behind, it wouldn't be many because I try and be as careful and as thorough as I can be. Out of a swarm of, say, 10 to 15,000 bees, there might be 30 or 40 left behind.
Yep.
They will usually go back to where they came from.
So they're not going to start to re-swarm again?
No. Yep. There's only a few of them, and it's like, hang on, we've come back to where everybody is. Where's everyone gone?
Yep.
And they'll hang around for a day or two, and then, we better go back to home then. So, yep, generally speaking, they'll go back to the point where they originate from. Most swarms usually only travel about up to 100 metres from their origin point. So if you've got a tree that's got an old hive in it, when that swarms, they will usually land and form a swarm clump within about 100 metres of that point.
Gee whiz. All right. So now, you've got the Lilydale show coming up. Tell us what's going to happen there, please, Greg.
It's going to be a great fun time.
Yep.
The Yarra Valley Bee Group are going to be there. We'll have a stand in the pavilion. We'll talk bees. There will be some honey for sale. P.S., if you want some local honey, get in there early. We don't have a lot at the moment. There's a plug. But yeah.
All right, let me just stop you there.
Yep.
Why isn't there a lot available at the moment? Is it just the wrong time of the season or what, Greg?
Yes, it is. It's a little bit early in the season for the Yarra Valley. A lot of beekeepers haven't even thought about harvesting any honey yet. It's just too early in the season. You've got to let the bees build up more before we can start harvesting honey.
Right.
So the honey that we've got is from the end of last season, so that's from March, April. That's when it was harvested. So, as I said, our honey tends to be rather popular, so it does tend to be sold rather quickly. So, once again, get in early, folks.
Get there pretty quick. All right. Now, we haven't told them the date of the Lilydale Show.
Lilydale Show is the 16th and 17th of this month, Saturday and Sunday, at the Lilydale Showgrounds.
And you'll be there both days?
We'll be there both days. Happy to talk about bees.
All right. You said about harvesting the honey. Mm-hmm. How often, we'll talk about your hives now, I guess all hives are the same. How often would you harvest the honey? Once a year, twice a year, or what?
For me, it's usually just once a year. Yeah. For others in, say, suburbia, I know there's a couple of guys in Muralbark that have already harvested. because they're in suburbia, more flowers, more food, more honey. Where I am, I'm rural, so I'm just totally dependent on the native flora.
Yep.
So I don't have the food resources for my hives that suburbia does. So, as I said, Muralbuck, there's been some harvesting already. I won't harvest until no earlier than February and probably March, April before I'll harvest.
And that'll be the only time, like, and you won't harvest again until the same time next year.
That's it for me. Yep, that's the way that I have to operate.
How many hives have you got?
At the moment, let's see, I've got 8 hives and I think I've got 6 swarms that I'm looking after at the moment.
So out of those, like, how much would you produce each year of honey, personally, just you?
Oh, that's a really how long is a piece of string question.
Yep.
It really is.
I like to ask a few hard questions.
It's not hard because I'm not avoiding the answer.
No.
But usually if someone says something like that to me, I'll say, it depends.
Yep.
And it depends. Remember I referred to the poor weather that we had a couple of years ago?
Yep.
Zero. And a lot of beekeepers had zero production. And I'm talking about just the backyard beekeepers. I'm not talking about the commercial operators.
No, I'm talking about backyarders too.
Yep. So for backyarders, a lot of us, there was no honey at all 2 years ago.
Yep.
Last year was a good season. Some chaps got a lot. I got a little bit. But then I'm a terribly conservative beekeeper. As I said earlier, I didn't get bees for honey. That just happens to be a wonderful secondary byproduct.
So how many bottles or what would you get per year yourself?
Well, once again, it depends. I think early in my beekeeping journey, I was fortunate when I started. It was the best bee season in terms of food and honey production for decades.
Oh, right.
And I got, you ready for it?
Yep.
110 kilos of honey.
Gee, yeah.
Exactly. And that to me, I've never been able to replicate that.
Have you never been able to replicate that?
No. But so, it doesn't matter.
About half or a quarter of that would you normally get?
Oh, about a quarter. I'd be happy with 25 kilos a year. That way, I have a lot of friends.
Yep.
Who enjoy our honey. So, I don't package and sell at markets or anything like that. Word of mouth is usually enough.
That's how you sell yours?
Yeah.
Oh, right. All right, we're going to take another quick break. Just give us a date of the Lilydale show again, please, Glenn.
16th,
I agree.
16th and 17th of November.
Great.
Up in the morning, out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden American history and practical math. You're studying hard and hoping to pass. Working your fingers right down to the bone. But the guy behind you won't leave you alone. Ring, ring, go to bell. The cook's in the lunchroom ready to sell. Look if you can find a seat. You're fortunate if you got time to eat. In the classroom, open your book. Jeepers, the teacher don't know how mean she looks. Soon as your clock goes around, the bottle of lead you burn down. Blow on your books, get out of your seat. Down the hall and street. Up through the corner, round the bend. Right to the juke joint. Coin right into the slot. You gotta hear something that's really hot. Well, the one you love, you make a romance. All day long, you want to dance.
Greg, how many beekeepers would be in say, Victoria, and how many of those would be in, say, what I'd call country areas? And I'm talking, when I'm talking country, I'm talking probably Coldstream, and I know that it's not real country, but I'm talking, you know, not in the metropolitan. How many would there be, and where would the biggest percentage of them be, country or Melbourne?
Yep, good question. I'm not sure of the exact number.
Yep.
Because I'm reliant on Department of Agriculture for numbers.
Yep.
I believe there's about 15,000
yep.
registered beekeepers in Victoria. The great majority of those would be in either Melbourne Metro or around the major regional centres. That's where the great predominance of backyard beekeepers are.
See, I would have thought that it was the other way around, because I wouldn't have thought people would want to keep beehives in their backyard. So there's heaps of people around, thousands, that have them in their backyard.
Thousands of us. We're a silent force.
Greg, just one other thing. I know we're talking about mainly about production of honey and collecting bees and all that, but if someone's listening today and they want to get involved with beekeeping, what sort of cost is there to setting up to be a beekeeper?
Okay. Or as a generalisation,
yep.
starting from scratch,
yep.
if you want to start beekeeping as a hobby that you are going to stay with,
yep.
I would suggest you're looking at a setup cost in your first year between $800 to $1,000.
Yep.
Approximately. Now, I would also follow that up by saying there is no such thing as a cheap hobby. They don't exist.
No. So how many hives would that get? Just one hive?
Yep, just the one.
Yep. So apart from the hive, what else have you got to buy?
Well, you've got to buy your personal protective gear.
Yep.
There are some beekeepers who are very gung-ho, almost.
Yep.
They use a minimum of protective gear.
And that can go bad.
It potentially can. Now, I've been beekeeping for 11 years or thereabouts.
Yep.
I still fully suit up. I am fully protected every
yep.
time I go to work bees.
Yep.
I don't see any value of being the macho guy. There's just no point.
Yep.
So you need a suit, you need gloves, you need a smoker, you need some basic hive tools. You also need to have a small supply of parts that will actually be needed in your hive as your hive expands. You may start off with a one box as a beginner hive.
Yeah.
It won't be long. You'll need another box and another set of frames, and so it goes. And some people say, oh, I think I might have a second hive. And it's like fishing or any other hobby. I think I just might get XYZ.
That happens, does it?
Mm-hmm. It does.
All right, so... But how do you start your hive? You've got to buy a queen bee, do you, to start with?
No, you can't buy. If you buy a queen bee and you have a queen bee and that's all you've got, you've given her a death sentence.
Right.
So you've got to get a whole lot of bees. You've got to get a whole package. That's where swarms come in, because in a swarm there is a queen already in there, and that's where a lot of beekeepers will start. They'll get a local swarm, and that's the start of their beekeeping journey. If you don't want to start with a swarm, you can get an already fully functioning working hive from a beekeeper. There are various places. But I would please, a word of caution, please avoid Gumtree for buying bees. Please.
Yep, fair enough, because you get all sorts of stuff on there, do you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I guess like anything else, you really need, well, if you're going to buy anything... particularly animals and that, you really need to be careful of any of those gum trees and eBay. You really need to buy them from somebody who knows what they're talking about, don't you?
Once again, that's where your local bee group should be your first point of contact.
Yep. So how many... your group is obviously in the Yarra Valley. How many beekeepers have you got in your group?
I think we've got about 170 members. And that's spread out from McMahon's Creek. We've got one down, one of our beekeepers lives in Monturna, but there's a lot basically, if you take a line from, say, Warburton, Healesville, through to Lilydale, and then go down to Belgrave, down to Pakenham, and then back up through Gembrook, back up to, Healesville, Warburton area.
So most of those would be on a few acres, wouldn't they? Like, there wouldn't be many in those areas in their backyards, or they would?
the majority are in their backyards.
Are they?
Yep.
That amazes me. So I'm really surprised. I would have thought they'd have all been sort of, people wouldn't want them in their backyards.
A lot of people, they can just tuck a beehive in your back corner where it's not going to be a bother to you or anyone else.
Yep.
And you can do your beekeeping. Yeah, I know lots of our members, backyard beekeepers, and they don't have to be on the old quarter acre blocks. Even in new subdivisions, you can always find room to pop a beehive.
Greg, how many hives would one of your average members have? And I know that's generalising, but just a rough idea.
As a generalisation, one or two.
Yep.
Because in a suburban situation, you are limited.
Yep.
You can usually only have two in a suburban situation.
Yep.
Once you get onto bigger blocks, well, obviously, there's scope for more beehives to be on that property.
Do you have to be registered with any government department to be a beekeeper?
It is actually law now.
Is it?
You are to be registered with the Agriculture Department of Victoria.
Yep.
Now, it's not a big brother, it's not a fee or anything like that. If you've got less than five hives, it's free. But they want to... The department wants you to be registered. So if there's an outbreak of a bee disease,
if they
don't know where you are, you can't be warned that there's a bee disease in your area.
And, Greg, I've got to take another quick break, but just before we go, I mean, people have to be very careful because there's a huge difference between bees and wasps, isn't there? Wasps are just pests.
And wasps are the aggressive ones.
So do wasps hurt the bees? Are they... A predator for bees?
Yes, they can be.
Are they?
Oh, yes. Yep. Yeah, because if you think of a honeybee, it's coming back from collecting nectar, so it's got a lot of sugars in it, and then the bee body, being an insect, is protein. Yep. And what do wasps want? Protein.
All right.
So, wasps will attack bees and kill them and take the carcass back to the wasp nest to feed their brood.
All right, we're going to take a quick break and we're going to come back. Well, now get your paper and pencil ready because Greg's going to give you some contact details. Now, there's two ways of looking at this. First of all, we might have twigged your interest and you might want to go along to one of their meetings or talk to some of their members and find out a bit about beekeeping. First thing. Second thing is, be a good idea to write it down and put it on your fridge because you never know when you're going to wind up with a swarm in your backyard and you want to get rid of them.
And we had on toast for tea and we laughed and needed love, yes I do.
hope we've whetted your appetite about these little critters, the bees, and how important they are to us all. And in a moment, Greg's going to give you some contact details. As I say, first of all, we may have twigged your interest and you'd like to think about beekeeping. Well, Greg and his guys are the people to talk to. And the other thing that might happen is you could wind up with a swarm in your garden, and you want to get rid of them, so don't touch them, don't harm them, get a hold of Greg and his boys. But first of all, just a quick reminder that he's at the Wirree Community House tonight between 7:30 and 8:30. Now, we've covered as much as we can, but we've had to take some breaks as we've gone along. So you get a full hour of Greg, so he'll be telling a lot more than what he's been able to tell you today. And he's going to bring along some honey for you to taste. And as I say, if I had the opportunity, I'd be there tonight. But unfortunately, I can't be there. So, but you need to ring Sonia and the crew down there at 5964-6857. That's 5964-6857. And book in, and I'm sure you'll have a great night. But, Greg, can you give us the contact details, please, on both occasions, whether people want to be a bee collector or whether they want to get a swarm removed?
Yep, great. All right. Well, for the Yarra Valley Bee Group, the best way to get all information is that on our website. So if you just Google Yarra Valley Bee Group, you'll get to us.
All one word?
All one word, yeah. All lowercase, Yarra Valley Bee Group. And you'll get to us. Now, our next meeting, which is the great way to meet beekeepers and find out, do I really want to keep bees? Come and find out more about it. Our next meeting, we meet at ECOS, which is opposite the Footy Oval in Westbourne.
Yep.
So it's the last Sunday of the month. So 24th of November, that'll be our final meeting for the year. So write that down. That's our only opportunity before Christmas to come and talk to beekeepers.
What time of the day?
That's at 2 o'clock. So it's from 2 to 4. We even bribe you with tea, coffee, pickies, that sort of stuff.
No honey.
Well, there is honey there as well, funnily enough, yes.
Yep. So do you have a phone number for people to contact?
Look, if you've got a swarm, first thing you really need to do is go to our website.
Yep.
Because we don't have a central number for swarms for Yarra Valley anymore. But on our website, if you go to the menu, you can see all bees, and then scroll down, and then there will be a page. I think there's about 10 or 12 people with their contact numbers and the areas they cover that'll come and help you with the swarm. That's the best way in those areas.
Greg, if you get a swarm, roughly, like you get hold of the beekeeper and it might take him a couple of days to get there. How long would it take you to remove a swarm?
That depends. Sorry,
oh, yeah,
I answer so many things with it depends. As a generalisation, if it's easily accessible and they've only just arrived there,
yep.
Usually, I can collect the swarm in about an hour to an hour and a half, and right. I'm gone.
Yep.
And the bees have gone with me, as a generalisation.
Yep.
Sometimes, if it's a very large swarm, or if it's been there for a couple of days, I might leave the little hive box there until dusk, when I know that all the bees will be in the box at night.
Oh, yeah, because they'll be out around the...
Yeah.
I hadn't thought of that.
Yeah, see? We think of everything.
Yeah, they'll be out collecting the nectar.
Yep, yep. Or in the case of a swarm, the reason you'll have bees away from the swarm is they're the ones that are looking for a new home, whether it's going to be in your garage or in your compost bin or in an old dog kennel or anywhere. If you've got one of the cedar clad homes, you know how often the little knot holes fall out of cedar homes?
Oh, yeah.
And guess what? Bees will find that hole.
And in they go. So how do you get those out?
Oh, that then becomes a challenge.
Yeah.
That's what's called a cutout, which is very different from removing a swarm, which is hanging in a branch or a tree.
Yeah.
Once they've moved in and established a hive in the wall between the external and interior walls, that then becomes a rather difficult and time-consuming job.
So do you have to take the weatherboard's off, or...?
It depends. If there's a plasterboard on the inside, usually you try and work from the inside if that's possible. Not always so. If for whatever reason, for example, if it's outside the kitchen or the lounge room area, obviously we can't go in through the internal wall, yes, but then it would necessitate removing weatherboards.
So And when you're removing a swarm, do you use your smoker as well? Because the smoker calms the bees down, don't they?
That's a good point, Alan. Yeah. I don't use the smoker when I'm collecting swarms. You use the smoker more when you're opening up a hive,
right?
To examine what's going on and you know, what they call an inspection to make sure everything's as it should be in the hive.
Yep.
So the smoke is basically like a distraction. And the way I equate that, if you think of you and I, if we went outside our house one day and we smelt smoke, our first reaction is, what is it and where is it and
yep.
is it a danger? So smoke works the same way as for bees. It's a distraction.
Oh, it doesn't calm them down. I thought it actually calmed them down.
It does insofar as it's a distraction for them. So instead of them looking at the beekeeper hovering over the top of the hive,
yep.
they're more concerned with, hang on, we can smell smoke. And that's their primary concern. See?
Oh, right.
Tricks of the trade.
It really is, isn't it?
Yep.
Greg, unfortunately, our time is fast approaching the 2 o'clock news. I've got to chuff off. But again, just your website, please.
Yep. It's Yarrow Valley Bee Group, all one word, lowercase. Just Google it. You'll find us. And you'll find all sorts of really good information on there.
Oh, terrific. Look, Greg, thank you for coming in. We'll get you in again next year. We like to talk to you and find out what's going on. I hope tonight's a real success down the Woori Community House. Mm-hmm. Get yourselves down there, 7:30 to 8:30, 5964 6857, and let them know you're coming. Thank you very much, Greg.
Right.
Thanks.